Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream. After a season like no other, there's just so much to unpack. We need to keep talking about it all summer long. We are Triple M Footy.
Oh, it's game on! Oh.
Thanks to Brighton's lawyers.
B-O-L-D goal!
This is Triple M's Summer Session.
And welcome back to Hour 3. Lots of calls and emails coming through at Triple M underscore NRL. Patrick Parisi from Leonay says, "Hey guys, love the show. Can't wait for footy to start. By the way, will you be on deck for the footy season? It'll be me. It'll be you, Hoops. It'll be Gordy Tallis. And it'll be the great man, Paul Kent, all back on deck. We've all signed significant two-figure deals to do another year here at Triple M."
Now, I've been speaking to the boys. They're pumped up. They'll be coming off the back fence. Yeah. Charity Shield only just around the corner.
Uh-huh.
And I'll tell you what, Daphne downstairs on the switchboards is on fire. A lot of feedback about your performance
She's
today.
She's blind drunk,
Anthony,
I think.
Feedback about your performance today. Rosemary from Rosebery has said, "I've known Anthony all my life growing up. It's great to hear that his cajones have finally dropped. Listen to him flying out of the line and putting shots on. First time for everything."
Thank you, Rosemary. I do remember you from Mount Carmel at Waterloo. Coming up this hour, we will talk about Parramatta Eels, their buys and their discards for season 2021 and other matters pertinent to the greatest game of all, rugby league. It's the Triple M Summer Session.
Triple M Summer Session. Thanks to Brighton's lawyers. They commit, protect and succeed.
Triple M Summer Session. Thanks to Brighton's lawyers with Maroon and Hoops. Well, what we've been doing in the course of our show is just picking out a team and talking about their gains and losses for season 2021. One of Sydney's more popular clubs, the mighty Parramatta Eels. I think everybody's got a bit of a soft spot for the Eels. It's been a long time since they won the premiership. I think it was back in the days of fax machines and CD players back in 1986. But let's have a look at who they've gained first, Hoops. And a couple of these players are probably just looking for another opportunity. Bryce Cartwright in from the Titans. Keegan Hipgrave was also at the Titans too. Joey Lussick in from the Salford Red Devils. Michael Oldfield from the Raiders. Tom Opacic from the Cowboys. That's a couple of clubs now for Tom. Mm. Isaiah Papali'i and Nathaniel Roach too for the Warriors. Mm. Now, losses. Daniel Alvaro's gone to the Dragons. Reece Davies has been released. Kane Evans has gone to the Warriors. Jay Field, Wigan Warriors. David Gow's retired. What about the Parramatta side? Have they got what it takes to take it up a rung?
Look, it's a strong roster. I reckon the biggest test for the Eels is going to be how they handle the defence on their edges. That's where sides were picking them apart last year. And crucially, a big part of that is going to be Michael Jennings isn't there. Like, so Michael Jennings has been suspended as a result of the sport integrity testing that was done last year. He's tested positive to a banned substance. And they haven't, like, they've replaced him. They've brought in Tom Opacek. But last year, especially in the finals, and in fairness to the Eels, they did suffer injuries, but teams were targeting them in the centres, especially on the right side where Fergo, and I think it was Wonga Blake, was defending.
Yeah.
The left edge was Sivo and Michael Jennings. But that right side, and you can throw in Ryan Madison and Mitch Moses as well, opposition sides really tried to target it and it paid dividends at times. So, can they do it? Look, it's been a long time. 1986, it's the longest current NRL premiership drought. I watched the 86 grand final the other day. Geez, that was a cracking contest.
What was that, 4-2 or something?
4-2, yeah. Brett Kenny got denied a couple of tries. And it was Mick Cronin's last game for the Eels and also the great Ray Price. And it was at the Sydney Cricket Ground. Terrific, terrific game and just great theatre and full house back there in the 80s. That was the halcyon days, Anthony. But it's been a long time. Can they do it? Look, the nucleus is all there. Like, the ingredients are all there. What are your thoughts, Maruna? What have the Eels got to get right to take that next step? Because we've seen year after year, like, that they can get to the finals, but their coach, Brad Arthur, I got all the time in the world for him. His record in the finals isn't great. That's not a criticism. That's just a fact.
See that? You talk about Michael Jennings. Correct me if I'm wrong, but that all unfolded in the finals.
Yeah, it did. Yeah. And in fairness, we should point that out for the Eels. Yeah. So, like, that broke on game day when they've got the biggest game of their season and it's sudden death semi-final football,
yeah.
and he gets rubbed out.
And in that particular Souths game,
yeah.
Mitch Moses was having a shot for goal, hits the upright, bounces back. Souths end up with the ball and run the field. Two tackles later, they score a try. I mean,
what were the Eels leading by at that stage? Can you recall?
I think
they were up.
Yeah, they were up.
I think they had the penalty goal, which Mitch obviously hit the upright with. It was one of those moments that it adds that much of a flow-on effect and a knock-on effect. And then the Bunnies clearly galvanised, steadied, and the rest is history. They came back from there. Look, I feel as though I reckon Mitch is in for a big season, Mitch Moses. Like, we've seen flashes of brilliance and we've seen him put a couple of months together in terms of really strong periods of football. But for them to go to the next level, it's got to be him. It's got to be Clint Gutherson. Reed Marnie out of dummy halves, an underrated, unsung player, but I think he's a damn good hooker. And I just think, you know, they are building. Like, it's a good pack. It's a good roster. You know,
Nathan Brown.
I like the addition. Apparently, they're going to play big Sean Lane, the giraffe, more in the middle this year, and they're looking to use Bryce Cartwright on the left edge. Nathan Brown got a taste of State of Origin football last year, but you know, then you add Keegan Hipgrave. He's he's one of those hard nosed, unsung, clean-up merchant, hard-working style of players that you need in your sides. But for them, can they absolutely go to the next level? They need their wingers as well. Like last year, you know, Micah Sivo was one of the success stories of the season the year earlier, and then last year he kind of plateaued a bit, and teams figured him out, and he's got an error in him, and his work rate wasn't what it should be all of the time as much. And Fergo had by his standards, he had a flatter season, and he struggled to score tries, which is what you need your wingers doing. But the size of those two wingers and the way that they can get in out of dummy half and coming out of yardage, just scoot and act as extra forwards, they've got the nucleus all there, the Eels. It's just whether or not they can put it together.
That right, and Junior Paul, I never got a mention then.
Great player.
Yeah.
Like he's a 5'8" trapped in a front rower's
side.
Oh, he's one of my favourite players. He's a 5'8" trapped in a front rower's body. The skill of him, it's Steve Roach, Arthur Bootson-esque, the finesse that he has got with his hands. And he can be brutal when he runs the ball and brutal in defence. So, again, he's another one. He got a taste of representative footy at the back end of last season with the Blues. It's all there for the Eels. I don't know what the answer is in terms of what they've got to do to make it click.
And did you call Sean Lane the giraffe?
Yes.
Is that because he can wipe his eyebrows with his tongue? Or is it because he's got a long neck? This is what. Where do you have Parramatta finishing?
I asked
finishing?
You earlier in this program what's in those gummy bears. Mm. You've just confirmed it.
Yes.
Kids, don't go looking for any of these gummy bears that Maroon buys online from America, from the US. He orders them in especially. No, his nickname's a giraffe, of course. Well, because he's 6 foot 13,
right.
Sean Lane. Like, he's huge. Have you ever stood next to him?
No.
He's enormous. Yeah, no, he's a big bloke. I really rate him as a player. And I think that, where do I see the Eels finishing? I think, you know, the other bloke we didn't touch on is Dylan Brown.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Often all the focus goes on Mitch Moses, and the Eels have gone all in on Mitch. Like, they've said, he's our halfback. We believe in him. He's working with the eighth immortal, Joey Johns, a hell of a lot, more so than last year because of the COVID restrictions. Joey's out there in person at Eels training at least once a week at the moment. And I think Mitch will see and reap enormous benefits out of that. But Dylan Brown and his combination with Mitch, if he can just take the pressure off Mitch and act as that second foil playmaker and be creative enough, not overplay, and their pack does its job, it's a good roster, Parramatta.
What about Brad Arthur, who we all know and love? If Brad Arthur gets them near enough this year, but not all the way, what sort of a future does Brad Arthur have at Parramatta Eels?
Well, he signed a contract last year for another two seasons. So he's got this year. I beg your pardon. He's got this year and he's got next year guaranteed lock, stock and barrel. And we saw there was an article earlier in the week. I think it was Buzz Rothfield wrote a column in his Monday Buzz column in the Telegraph on Monday, which suggested that perhaps Parramatta might look at a Shane Flanagan
yes.
If Brad Arthur couldn't get the job done this season. But then the Eels CEO, Jim Sarantinos, was quick to come out and clarify and go on the record that Brad Arthur will be the Parramatta coach. He's signed for this season. He's signed for next year. Look, I think unless the wheels completely come off, they miss the eight and everybody starts to turn on one another, I don't see any reason why Brad Arthur wouldn't be the head coach at Parramatta. And I've got to say, Anthony, can you imagine the scenes when the Eels do eventually break this premiership drought at the moment? Like, there's that old saying, you know, when Souths are flying, when the Tigers are flying, when Parramatta and the Dogs and the Knights and those Heartland Rugby League clubs are powering, fans just, you know, like the fans that, they're not casual fans, they're supporters, but they might not necessarily get out and go to a game and be as involved. But when their clubs start to go good again, watch them fly, and it's a brilliant sight.
Yeah, great part of Sydney, great history club, great new venue too, Bankwest Stadium. We wish them all the best in season 2021. This is the Triple M NRL Summer Session. Thanks to Bryden's Lawyers. Still to come, the segment that's got tongues wagging, Maroon Confidential, on the way at Triple M.
Triple M Summer Session. Thanks to Bryden's Lawyers. They commit, protect and succeed.
Triple M Summer Session. It's all thanks to Bryden's Lawyers. It's Maroon and Hoops. And we've got Nathan Brown, coach of the Warriors, coming up for a chat shortly. But before we do, just some quick things we really do need to cover off on before we finish for the afternoon. Firstly, Hoops, Sam Burgess has been found guilty.
Yeah, he has been found guilty in that Mossvale court. That verdict was handed down yesterday. Look, I've done this previously and I'll do it again. I'll defend Sam Burgess's character. I know Sam, I've had quite a bit to do with him. It's a domestic dispute with his father-in-law. I'm not sure what the actual punishment from the court is going to shake out as, but I would suggest it's nowhere near the magnitude of a Payne Haas style of a scenario.
Okay, Brent Naden, a 5K fine.
Yeah, 5K from the NRL Integrity Unit. That's, of course, because he tested positive to cocaine leading in to the grand final. The result wasn't determined until afterward. I've got to say, look, geez, a lot of people shaking their heads saying they reckon he might have got off a little bit light, Brent Naden. Doesn't miss any football at all.
Yep.
And just a 5K fine, and obviously he was on the bugle leading into the GF.
And what are your thoughts on that? Is 5K getting out of it easily?
Yeah, I'm surprised he doesn't miss any games at all. I think that's probably around the game of rugby league. Well, let's go back to one of our very own. Like, the dual international Wendell Saylor did 2 years.
Yes.
So they've changed the rules. And whenever you change the rules, it always leaves it open to debate, conjecture, and criticism. And I've got to say, you know, I've long thought that Wendell was harshly done by having to do as long out of the game and all sport as what he did. But he must just be shaking his head now that this bloke gets a $5,000 fine and welcome back. Don't even miss a game.
Yeah, it's unbelievably. It seems unbelievably soft to me. Latrell Mitchell is apparently shopping it around. Obviously, his manager is shopping him around. My mail is, though, he'll probably be at Souths.
Yeah, it's been strongly suggested for the last couple of weeks now that the Latrell deal was getting very close. I still believe that it is, but for whatever reason, one of his advisors saw fit to come out in the papers and suggest that the Broncos might be a place that Latrell would also entertain going to. It surprised me, but I still think that a deal will get done with the Bunnies.
I hope so. I'd love to see him play some consistently good football for the Rabbitohs. He's only just got there, and there was enough rigmarole around getting him there.
At his best, he's a game-breaking dynamic
no
player.
No question.
Yeah, but he needs a big year, Latrell. I'd love to see him stay injury-free and play some really consistent football at fullback.
I think it's a lot to ask. I wasn't going to go down this path, but I think it's a lot to ask Rabbitohs supporters to be told he's you know, chats with the Broncos, and I believe he should be just signing off with Souths and continuing down the path he's going.
In fairness to Latrell, it wasn't him that has joined the dots and made the connection with the Brisbane Broncos. It's one of his advisors that has. So I'm not sure whether Latrell was across it or not, but I would echo your sentiments. I'd think after all the hullabaloo, carry on and everything else that went with his last round of contract negotiations. The best thing Latrell can do is just keep his feet in the ground, play good football, and let his footy do the talking.
I think that's absolutely 100% correct. Josh Dugan's been rushed to hospital.
Yeah, apparently a little mishap at training. Got a burner or some sort of neck injury, and they called the ambos. So Josh, apparently he's fine. He's okay, which is the most important. So nothing serious. But a little bit of a surprise at Sharky's training on Friday. Josh had to get triple O'd and off to hospital.
Just quickly, I love this area. It's just always been an area that interests me, the area of NRL expansion, rugby league expansion. Obviously, we're talking about Brisbane in 2023.
Yep.
Now, two of the teams or two of the bid franchises have come together. That is the Ipswich Jets and the Brisbane Bombers.
Yep.
I believe they'll be the Brisbane Jets. Does this give them a leg up?
Well, it certainly forms a superpower joint venture. There's already a really strong existing couple of clubs up there. Redcliffe is one, and then the East Tigers, who have decided they're going to be called the Brisbane Firehawks, is the other bid. But this bid team, having formed a joint venture, $14 million backing, I must say it does look as though it's got really strong appeal. And I know that the number one bloke who would be on their hit list in terms of when they're setting up the organisation would be your head coach, Wayne Bennett. Mm. But it won't, we should stipulate, there won't be a 17th team in the NRL until at the earliest 2023. I think it will happen in 2023.
Can I ask you this? Do you think the Broncos look at that now and say, well, look, we better get our act together? A, we don't want another Brisbane team. Mm. Or B, if we've got our act together and the new team's got their act together, then all of a sudden Brisbane is just the absolute ultimate rugby league town.
Well, I mean, it already is a massive, like you've been up there. They live, breathe and love their rugby league up in Brisbane. So there is absolutely room for another side. Look, from a selfish point of view, I'm sure the Broncos don't want another side in because they got the one team town domination set up. But I would be thinking that it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. It'll happen. It's going to be 2023. It's just which bid wins the race. It'll either be the Brisbane Jets, the Brisbane Firehawks, or Redcliffe Dolphins, which I'm guessing would be called the Brisbane Dolphins.
Yeah, and they're pretty cashed up too. And of course, if we go back 12 or 13, 14 years, Hoops, they wouldn't let the Gold Coast be the Gold Coast Dolphins because the Redcliffe Dolphins thought this day might be coming.
Correct. Mm. That's right. That's back in the days when you used to just pack two party shirts and a couple of pairs of party shoes straight up to Seagulls nightclub. Correct. Up there. Mm. And all up, what was the main one you used to go to in Cavill Avenue?
Oh, Melba's.
Shooters. Mm. Melba's down on the beach there. Yeah.
I'd have a couple of West Coast coolers and then get, you know, break out the disco robot, do a couple of little disco moves, a bit of a Michael Jackson moonwalk. But can I ask you this one more question?
A couple of Rush's dinner ales. Oh, for a bit,
beautiful.
Just to get the party started.
And then my missus, who I've been with since I was about 12, said, get yourself back to your room, son. what do you think in terms of this new side, how soon do they need to be competitive? Why I ask this is if we go back to when I was a young bloke, Steelers Raiders come in, took them years to be competitive, but I think that was expected.
Yep.
But then Melbourne Storm come along, win a premiership within 2 years.
Yeah.
What do you think? Do you think this new Brisbane side have to hit the ground running?
Well, if you go back to when the Gold Coast Titans were introduced, like they had some good success early, then it all went pear-shaped, and it's taken them a long time to rebuild. Certainly, I think success, it helps a hell of a lot. It's not paramount because I think people are willing to give it a bit of a go, but because it is a new venture. But at the same time, if you can hit the ground running and you can make the finals and have a real buzz about that element of the community and this new franchise, then for sure it helps.
Because, mate, if you're talking about being in the competition in 2023, you've got to be ready to go within 2 years. Yeah. So they need the rubber stamp very soon.
Yeah.
And they need to start talking to some marquee players.
I think the rubber stamp will probably come most likely the middle of this year, or if not, towards the end of this season coming. And then that gives them a good 12 months to really start to put everything that they need in place. And they launch March 2023.
All right, let's take a break and we'll come back with Nathan Brown very shortly. It's the Triple M NRL Summer Session.
Triple M Summer Session. Thanks to Bryden's Lawyers. They commit, protect and succeed.
Triple M Summer Session. It's a rugby league show right across the summer where the things really happen. It never stops these days. Rugby league, Maroon and Tricep Super. We are going to go live to the beautiful Triple M studios in sunny downtown Terrigal, where our former Triple M man, Nathan Brown, coach of the Warriors, joins us for a chat. Hello, Brownie.
Hey, Maroon.
Absolutely fantastic. Geez, you've had a good off-season. You've toured Tamworth, and now you're up there on the beautiful sunny coast.
Yeah, mate, I got 2 months in Auckland first, and a quick trip back to Sydney off to Tamworth for a month, and another quick short stay in Sydney for a couple of days where the wife had the whip out making me do the gardens and the lawns and make sure everything was sorted there, and then back to Terrigal today, mate, for at least the next couple of months anyway.
Beautiful. And it's been a big news week, hasn't it, Brownie, in terms of not just the Warriors, but also St George Illawarra being in the headlines, your old club big time as well. What have you made of all the furore around their decision with Israel Folau?
Yeah, when you're not across everything, Hoops, and you don't actually know the ins and outs of things, it's always really, really hard to comment because, as mean, you know, sometimes things happen behind the scenes that we're not really privy to, you know. But I certainly think, you know, if Israel was to play, I'm sure it would have been a great signing if he was going to play for the Dragons. But there's always news in rugby league. It's just hopefully when it's your club, it's good news, Hoops. That's what you always hope.
That's it. Well, you got to take the good with the bad, as they say, Brownie. And 100%. I guess this week in relation to the Warriors, obviously Roger Tuivasa-Sheck and the news that he will move on at the end of the season. How's that been received, and how long had you known about that decision, all those sorts of things?
Well, obviously I was aware that he was looking at the possibility of going to rugby union for this season, and for whatever reason that didn't quite work out. And I knew that he was still looking to possibly go across for the following season or next year after playing this season. But I was not across where it was really at until one of your colleagues, Mick Carrianis, come up with the big scoop, you know. So I wasn't quite across it, because I'd always just said to Cameron, George and Sully, if it's going to happen, just tell me so I know what's happening. If it's not happening, well, maybe we're talking about it every week, because it was obviously going to be a bit of a continued story. But the thing with Roger is he's actually taken a fair pay hit to go to rugby union. It's obviously something he's dreamt of. It's not a financial decision. And when you're losing a player of Roger's calibre and you're not losing him to another rugby league club, it sort of makes it feel a little sweeter, if that makes sense. You haven't been, you know, he's not going to a competitor to make the competitor better. He's actually going to do something that's obviously been a long dream. And from a club's point of view, we've got to try and build our club to the stage where, one, we're attractive to bring in, you know, good players, but more importantly, we're a club that's got good young players coming through, so we don't have to obviously go to the player market all the time. So, but now it's great for Rog. He's happy. We know he'll give us a great year this year, so we don't have to really worry about his attitude, because his attitude's first class.
Yeah, that's how you want it to be. Now, the other big yarn coming out of your joint, Brownie, has been your decision to block some of your players from featuring in the All-Stars game. Just talk us through how this went down and why you decided that you want to take this stance.
Yeah, look, I sort of spoke to Cameron George before, you know, in the pre-season over in early in November, because we've got obviously in a bit of a unique situation this year for us Hoops, where, you know, when pre-season started in November for all the sides that missed the 8 last year, all them come together as a club, where for us, due to COVID, we had, you know, half a squad in New Zealand and half a squad in Australia, you know. So for us, we had a lot of new players, you know, that we'd been to the market, which the club had signed. We had a lot of younger players come up out of the junior system at the Warriors. So our squad's had a huge turnover of people and obviously a new coach. So, you know, our first sort of 4 to 6 weeks where you generally have people working together and getting to know each other and build some combinations, that would happen before Christmas. But for us, because of the COVID situation, we were sort of, and I suppose you could say, at a disadvantage to all the other clubs that miss the 8. So, you know, it's a bit of a, I suppose you can look at it as a selfish decision, and I'm happy to cop the heat for it. But just on this occasion, you know, the COVID's affected the Maori All-Stars just like it's affected the rest of the world, you know, and it's not, these decisions aren't always popular, Hoops, but for us, you know, we've only got 6 weeks to prepare for the season opener as a sort of first team type of squad. And if you let blokes go to the All-Stars, there's a week and a half gone. If they get an injury, well, there's 2 or 3 weeks. When you've only got 5 or 6 weeks of proper training. That's a lot of time for him to miss. And, you know, I just thought we needed Katie Nikarima and Tohu Harris and blokes who are our more experienced players and all playing such an important role to be with us. If there was any players that had only played a handful of first grade games and not an important position, they were more than able to be selected, as Jermaine Tanua Brown and Josh Carano. They got selected, and they're still young blokes working their way into the club. And you know, for them going and gaining the experience and playing was obviously great. And I also acknowledge that, you know, from the players' point of view, the cultural side of it's very big. You know, I understand all the different cultures coming together and sort of learning more about their heritage is very, very important. But sometimes in rugby league, you've got to take the selfish approach, and you've got to do what's best for your club sometimes. And that's the way we've done it this year. But on any other given year, you know, we'd never have done it. But the COVID has a different effect in different ways on all of us.
How did the players take it, Brownie? Because as you just touched on there, I imagine, you know, representing the Mary All-Stars, that's not something that comes lightly. I would imagine that players would put that on a similar pedestal to representing your country.
Yeah, that's the great thing with these, you know, with the All-Stars, Tonga, Samoa, you know, the Maori, that's the probably one of the biggest things they all get out of it. You know, where the origin's probably more about playing and winning, or, you know, playing for Australia is about representing your country and winning, where they're probably more representing their culture and learning and probably more importantly for some of them, you know, going and doing these things actually learn a lot about their culture, because a lot of them have grown up in Australia, haven't they, and haven't grown up, or some of the Indigenous boys have grown up in the city and haven't been around, you know, the old country folk, you know, where they're singing and dancing and the hunting, and that's a real part of their life, you know, and the Dreamtime story. So for all different cultures, you know, for these players going in, they actually enjoy learning a lot about their cultures. But the players were quite understandable. They would have all loved to have played, but they're understandable that they get paid very, very well to represent the Warriors, and the Warriors on this occasion just took precedence. And as I said to them, you know, next year, more than happy, you know, hopefully we can all have a good year this year as a new coach, new squad, and we get to train with each other before Christmas, and then you go off with everyone's blessing.
See, this is the thing, Brownie. This is the point. You just raised the point. And this is why I sympathise with you and back you with what you've done here, because these players, not just the players at your club, but at all clubs, you're paid very well to play for your club, $500,000-$600,000 to play for whoever. And it wouldn't be the first time we've seen a player get injured and miss the whole season, whether it's in the Charity Shield or the All-Stars or any other of these, for want of a better term, glorified trials. I think moving forward, a lot of coaches are going to do what you've done here.
Yeah, I just think the situation sometimes are a bit different. And as I said, all clubs are different. Like, you know, different people have had a go at me because Craig Bellamy's let Jerome Hughes go and play. But Jerome Hughes has been playing for the Melbourne Storm for 6 years now, and he's got the same coach, and they just won the grand final. So his combination with Cameron Munster and Papenhuyzen are obviously ticking along nicely, you know, where our situation is just such a unique situation, you know, and you know, you want your players playing rep football, and I've never asked players not to represent, you know, England when I was in England, or Origin when I was coaching at St George, had a lot of Origin players, or even my time at Newcastle, we started to have a fair few Origin players. I've always encouraged people to play representative football, because not only is it great for them to work with the other players from other clubs, but it's also great for them to work with other coaches. And as we said before, with the Maori All-Stars and the Indigenous side, you know, the cultural thing is really important for these blokes to know about where they actually come from if they don't know it 100%. So it's just a unique situation for us this time. And as we know, sometimes we just have to make decisions that aren't popular. And, you know, head coach is not a popularity contest all the time. And unfortunately, this time I'll take the heat for that one, but it's certainly in the best interest of our club, you know. And I've got, you know, an owner who's obviously quite ambitious and a chairman, that which is great, you know. So we've got to set some standards early on, and hopefully we can, by having this time together, it enables us to prepare a little bit better. That's all.
Good on you, Brownie. We'll catch up with you in the course of the season, mate. All the best for the New Zealand Warriors.
Thanks, gang. Good to chat, eh?
Good on you, mate. There's Nathan Brown joining us on the summer session here. Thanks to Bryden's Lawyers with Maroon and Triceps Hooper. I think Hoops to it. It's a big step forward for the Warriors to say to these blokes, hang on a second. No, you're actually not going to play in the All-Stars game. I think the problem with the Warriors in the past may have been, you know, it's a little bit casual. It's a little bit, too much flexibility for the players. This certainly going to bring things into line over there, or sort of change the culture a little bit.
Yeah, I haven't been inside the Warriors' four walls to listen to whatever standards have been set previously, but clearly Nathan Brown has drawn a line in the sand here. I find it interesting that he's allowing a couple of the young players to go and represent the Indigenous side, but he's blocked. I mean, Tohu Harris has been around for a long time. Chanel Tavita Harris, he's still cutting his teeth and learning his trade. He's only a young gun coming through the ranks. So I can understand that a little bit more. But look, clearly it's a decision that they have done in consultation with the other leaders amongst the New Zealand Warriors setup. So you've got Brownie there, you've got Cameron George there as a CEO, you've got Gus Gould playing a role, and you've also got Peter O'Sullivan as a recruitment guru. So there's a lot of football knowledge there and a lot of football nous, and they obviously have come to the conclusion that this is the best decision for their club. It's going to upset some people, and I can understand that. But as Brownie said, head coaching is not a popularity contest.
Absolutely, and we wish them all the best too in season 2021. We're doing this for Bryden's Lawyers. It's the Triple M NRL Summer Session. More to come.
Triple M Summer Session. Thanks to Bryden's Lawyers. They commit, protect and succeed.
Triple M's NRL Summer Session. We're just about done for another week. But before we go, the world's most popular radio segment.
Psst. This is Maroon Confidential.
Yeah, Maroon Confidential.
Just before you start, Anthony, can I just say this segment is going gangbusters.
It is, mate.
Everywhere I go, people ask me, hey, that Maroon Confidential, is that fair? I say 100%, it's fair dinkum. He spends all his week speaking to people in and around the game and hitting the phones and bumping people out and about, and it really has taken off.
Well, I've only got to drive down Redfern Street, past the park there, past the in-laws' house, up to the coffee shops. And, mate, people are throwing gossip at me, throwing it at me. So let me just get underway with this one. Cronulla Shark fans, Maroon Confidential has heard that perhaps, I'm just going to say this, Sharks and Craig Bellamy.
What?
I mean, you're hearing Sharks and Craig Fitzgibbon, Sharks and Cam Seraldo, Sharks and Craig Bellamy. Is there anything in that? I mean, you want to get the best if he's available.
Yeah, it's the first time I've heard it, I've got to say. So I'll tell you what, that's hot off the press, Maroon Confidential. Look, I know before St. George Illawarra went and signed Anthony Griffin, I think they drew up a wish list, and on top of it was Craig Bellamy. And so I think they might have bumped him. So it wouldn't stun me if they had the power brokers at Cronulla had in some way drawn up a list that perhaps had Craig Bellamy's name on it. But perhaps the other couple of blokes you mentioned there, Craig Fitzgibbon and Cameron Seraldo, they might be a little bit more realistic.
Well, I'm just saying what I hear in Maroon Confidential. So if you hear any more, if you spot Craig Bellamy in at Northies there having a chicken schnitzel with some of them, you'll know that you heard it first on Maroon Confidential. The other thing is Ryan Girdler, our very own Ryan Girdler.
Where have you seen?
Well, he has been spotted in Manly after a night out in a bus shelter eating a margarita pizza at sometime between 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning, still taking selfies with people. So if anyone's got a selfie of Ryan with a pizza in the bus stop at Manly, please let us know. It sounds out of character for Ryan,
doesn't
it?
That sounds very out of character, yeah. Firstly, I would have thought, no, he wouldn't be up and about that early in the morning.
No, but
unless he was going to work, right? I don't think he'd be up and about that early, that late, whatever you want to call it. And I reckon he'd be more of a late night lamb sandwich man, wouldn't he, as opposed to a margarita pizza? They are hard to beat.
He's more of a, I'll wait till I get home and have some sort of a quinoa chicken salad or something. That's what shocked me.
An acai bowl.
Yeah, an acai bowl, not a pizza. What else is going on in Maroons Confidential? Our very own Freddie Fittler, coach of the New South Wales Blues Origin side, spotted in Kurrajong Heights bidding on a fibre alpaca. Now, I've done my research on a fibre alpaca, and I believe they are the finest alpaca you can get. They sell somewhere between $1,500 and $5,000. As you know, Freddie's moved into the alpaca area, and it's getting him so busy that it might even take him away from the great game.
Is he an alpaca man or a llama man, though?
Well, what's the difference?
We'll have to ask him.
It's crocodiles, because, alligators, isn't it?
We'll have to ask him, because there is a distinct difference. I think llamas have
three toes, teeth
on the top and on the bottom, right? So when they eat the grass, they mow it all at an even consistent tempo, right?
Yeah.
Whereas if you get the alpacas, I think they've only got one row, so they sort of chop the turf up a bit rougher.
Yeah,
cuts
right.
Cuts up a bit rougher, yeah, from what I've heard.
Freddie, or if anyone knows anything about alpacas and llamas, if you could ring in 133353 and sort that one out for us. But yeah, Freddie Fittler spotted buying alpacas in Kurrajong Heights. It may have been llamas.
Wow, this segment, I'm telling you, it knows no bounds.
Now
it is flying.
The other one.
What else we got?
I did promise you one from Port Macquarie.
Oh, yes.
Now, the Settlers Hotel in Port Macquarie.
Settlers Inn.
The pub that.
This is the pub.
Made of ours.
You
owns.
Promised to do that infamous Roosters cheerleader jig on. And then, of course, like all of your other bets that you've ever made that are foolish and imbecilic, you did the pirouette, backflip,
firstly,
triple pike out.
Firstly, get your facts right. It wasn't that pub. But anyway, the point I'm trying to make is this is Alistair Flower, a friend of yours and friend of mine.
Good mate of the programs.
Who owns the Sets up there through the last weekend. They had some Rabbitohs old boys up there. They were up there playing golf. The likes of the great Gary Hambly, Birdman, who now lives in Port Macquarie and runs a motel if you're ever up there. Go and see Gary's. Other notables that were there included Nails Rampling, the great Rossi Harrington. The list goes on and on. After golf.
It's an all-star cast.
It was an all-star cast of drinkers. After golf, they all go back to the Settlers Hotel.
All up the Settlers, yeah.
They fire up the karaoke. Who should be there? None other than the great Shannon Donato.
Oh!
Jumps up on stage, hooks into a little bit of Elton John.
Does he?
Piano. What's that one? Crocodile Rock.
Oh, yeah, great song.
Then he does I'm Still Standing. He's got the mature age women of the Settlers Hotel just absolutely roaring at him.
In raptures.
And so they behave themselves, Rabbitohs, as you would understand. But that's Maroons Confidential for this week.
Great ambassadors for the game, those blokes. Great ambassadors for the game. And good pub, the Settlers Inn. If you're up there around Port Macquarie, drop in, have a schooner, have a schnitzel. Great venue.
Chili chicken wings.
Yes.
A couple
of
cold ones.
Probably not a bad joint for Super Bowl.
You're up there. It's a long way to go.
I said if you're up there, if you're holidaying up there, if you're still on holidays, it'd be nice to still be on holidays, Maroon.
Yeah, Alistair up there, who you went to school with.
Yes, great bloke.
Says that when he played football with you as teenagers, and he said you were a fair dinkum, quote, unquote, a turnstile. He said you're a turnstile.
He probably got that right, yeah. I would have said blancmange, but he might have got that right.
Anyway, no more Maroon Confidential till next week. I'll be out and about. If you see me out and about, you'll know I'm out there looking for information. If you see me at Redfern Street or lurking around East Gardens, down at Coogee Beach, you'll know I'm getting the information.
Little Kong Wong, especially for people that are down at Little Kong Wong, you'll know him. He's down there on a regular basis. He's the chap who flies the drone around. That's Maroon. Go and say hello. Go and bump him, whatever you need to do, and give him a little bit of information along the way.
See you next week.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot, and strong. Install a Ream.